Good evening. The time is 8 p.m.
QST, QST, QST. Calling all radio amateurs. This is N7IVV, November 7, India. Victor, Victor. Activating the Fakir Amateur Radio Association General Service Net. This net is held every Wednesday at 8 p.m. local time on this W4VA repeater, which is located in Warrenton, Virginia. This repeater is owned and operated by the Fakir Amateur Radio Association and uses a PL tone of 167.9 Hz for access. If anyone listening would like additional information, please see our website at w4va.org. The purpose of this net is to provide a forum for general discussion and Q&A regarding topics such as radio hardware, computer software, antennas, operating procedures, and other similar information related to amateur radio activities. Don't have a discussion item again tonight. A little under the weather tonight, so I haven't had time to even pull up my list of general class questions, although I might do that at any time the next little bit. But does anybody have any questions or discussion items they might like to cover tonight? Call me now at 7IBV.
KN4SPL.
Okay, Bob, KN4SPL. This is N7IVV. Go ahead.
N7IVV from KN4SPL. Let's see. It was brought to my attention last night from the XYL of strange noises coming from the radio in the garage. So this topic is really getting into RFI. The antenna that is the culprit for this radio interference, I'm sure it's attacking my neighbors too, would be my Invis antenna, which is a near vertical incidence skywave antenna. And recently I raised it up about five, six feet because the wire was whipping the glass window to our bedroom, so the wife and poo was getting a little upset about that, so I raised it up, so I might have possibly lost my counterpoise, but it's making LED lights flicker and noise on radios, so just, I think it's a good topic, RFI and ways to fix it. Back to you.
Okay, that's a good topic. I won't give you my glib smart aleck remark on how to fix it. But it doesn't have anything to do with turning off your radio. So anybody who has any good hints and discussion about how to mitigate RFI, of course we all know about the ferrites and whatnot, that can get real interesting trying to go around and put ferrites on every single piece of equipment that's getting the RFI. But anyway. Okay, with that, let's see. Announcements coming up. Club meeting tomorrow night. So be there in person, be there on WebEx. We've got a gentleman who will be presenting a historic presentation to us about Penn Hill. The topic will be a little bit different than what I had originally put out. He has two topics that he does frequently, and he's got one topic that's much more apropos for Veterans Day. It has to do with how Penn Hill was instrumental in radio reception, signal reception, and whatnot during the early days of World War II, if I've got my facts straight. But it should prove to be a very interesting discussion presentation for us. So we'll try to keep our business meeting short and get over to that. So 7:15 p.m. online or there at the PATH building. Other than that, nothing's particularly coming up. I know that a lot of the fellows like to get up and get out to Wegmans at the last Saturday of the month. I guess we'll go ahead and start announcing it, although technically it is not a club-sponsored event, but, you know, anybody who wants to cruise along here is welcome to do so. Obviously, mostly the club members, but that's proven for, I don't know, perennially to be a very popular activity. And I believe that the Wegmans facility has been quite a positive place to do that, a good place, good location. Although they've shut down their food court, I guess, from the COVID things quite a bit. But Anyway, that notwithstanding. All right, let's go ahead and take check-ins tonight, and then we'll discuss how to mitigate RFI and just see what everybody's been up to. This is N7IVV. Go ahead.
KX4KU in Aspen.
K1HTV Mobile, this is leaving Warrington.
KF4TEK. No comment tonight, Brad.
4BOX.
BB7RAV, in and out.
Kilo Oscar 4, Quebec, Kilo November, in and out.
Kilo Juliet 7, Alpha, Papa, Victor.
This is N1BED Mobile, in and out. Hope everybody's having a good night. Okay, everybody stand by now. Okay, I've got KX4KU, of course, Bob, I've got you checked at the top. K1HTV, KF4TEK, K4BOX, I'm thinking we should have a board meeting online here. WB7RAV, Randy, did you say you were in and out? Go ahead, please.
You're in and out.
Okay, so you lied because you came back to me. Hi. Okay, good. KO4QKN, James, good to hear you tonight. KJ7APV, Becca, James, I've got you in and out. And N1BED, drive safe, Mark, good to hear you. Okay, any more check-ins? Go ahead.
N2NAR, no comment.
Was that Mike, N2N, November Alpha Romeo?
Affirmative.
Okay, very good. Well, shucks. I guess we'll go ahead and Kevin, you said something along with your call there, but since you're next on the list, we'll go ahead and turn it over to you, and you can tell Bob how to mitigate his RFI problem. Go ahead.
N7IVV, KX4KU, in the net. The word I said was announcement, but that's, and for Bob's RFI issue, just ground and more ground. Now, I didn't really hear enough of the details of what his issue is, but somewhere he might get an RF back fed into his shack. The announcement, I just want to mention a couple things at the meeting tomorrow night. Real quick, we are going to be having board member nominations tomorrow night. So if you know someone or wish to run for any of the board seats, that will be voted on in December. We'd like an announcement tomorrow night, so people will have time to think about it. And the other thing is the dues, that's starting up now. Memberships go through the end of the year, so it's time to start thinking about renewing your dues to the club. So those are the two other announcements I just wanted to make, and I'll go into my thing. Not much on my end. We're still working with new Rick Pie. There seems to be something wrong with one of the new features, but a lot of the new features are very handy and very nice. But, you know, it's still relatively new. So I'm sure there's going to be little bugs along the way, but pretty happy with that. I will be at my nephew's next week all week. So I will have a lot of radio time next week, that's for sure. And and then tonight, just wanted to make everybody aware, at 9 o'clock, it's SpaceX going to lift off again, if you like watching rockets go off in the air. That's all I have. N7IVV, KX4KU, back to net.
Okay, KX4KU, N7IVV. Good, thanks for the reminder on the SpaceX. I will pop that over right now, so I don't forget. Because I don't have anything else to say. Because thanks for the extra announcements there. Well, there's only half a dozen of us in here tonight, but what the heck? Well, never mind. I'm not even going to bother because most of us are already on the board, and we all want to get off. So everybody, please run against us. No, that's not true. K1HTV, Rich, what you been up to? Go ahead.
Hello, Brad. HTV just crossed over the Rappahannock River into Culpeper County, now in Amosville, and heading home. Last week, let's see what's happened. Andy was over last week, put up an element on the 40-meter beam, which we had taken down. I had a pin with the sheet metal screws at the metal-to-metal connections between the element pieces, and that seems to stabilize it. but there's still some wobbly connections. When it was windy, the SWR was bouncing up and down, so the director and the reflector probably have similar problems. But when the antenna is stable, it's working. We tried it last night on the wire antennas. I heard EY8MM in Tajikistan at 40 meters switch over to the beam, and wow, what a difference. Was able to work them. Nothing like having a lot of metal up in the air. Three elements. Front to back is poor. It's only a couple dB, but both front or back work perform better than the wire antennas. So that's very happy with that. 12 is open the past couple of days. This afternoon, heard FK8CP in New Caledonia. Very good signal. Trying to call 9G1 station in 9G1FI in Ghana unsuccessfully, and many stateside stations were calling the New Caledonia station, including me, but he did not work anybody. He did not come back to anyone after failing to work the station in Ghana. So, but he's on. He's got a good signal. Forest 7AB has been on from Sri Lanka on 40 meters in the morning. Very good signal. With the wires or the beam, of course the beam's better, but with the wires, still a very, very good signal from the island of Sri Lanka. Long path across the Pacific, across Australia, to what used to be Ceylon, south of India. Other than that, as far as the RFI problem, well, the problem is usually in the radio, where the device is not meant to pick up ham radio, and the fact that they've cheaped out on bypass capacitors. They've cheaped out on filtering. That's why you have interference. So the answer is to get a better radio. But if you want to try to fix it, if it has an AC cord, wrap lots of wire around the cord, a ferrite core, for a low frequency RF, it's best to use type 31 between 160 meters and 20 meters, and best to use type 73, is it? Anyway, there's another higher, maybe it's 41, not 40. I think it's 41, type from 40 meters up through 200 megahertz. So there's two types of ferrite, and you want to optimize it for the best, whatever frequency is causing the RF to be most effective. That's about it. Good luck with getting rid of the RFI. Back to net control. This is K1HTV Mobile in Amosville.
Okay, Rich, thank you. You know, you reminded me that when I first set up my station a couple of years ago, pushing 3 years ago now, I had a horrible time with RFI on 40 meters, just off a dipole hung up on the house. And it was all installed properly, and I tried ferrites, I tried this, I tried that. And honestly, I don't remember what it was that I finally did, but the problem finally went away, and it must have been grounding because I started putting up different additional antennas and whatnot, and the problem finally went away. So I'm gonna arguing with Rich. Ferrites, you know, you've got to have it because I've got them installed in a number of places here. But you know, your comment, Bob, about raising the antenna, you change the characteristics of the antenna, and now all of a sudden you're getting RFI. That smacks of being a grounding problem. And frankly, that's a lot easier to experiment with than having to go around and find all the devices that are getting interference into them and putting ferrites all over the place. So that's a quick and easy one. So definitely see what you can do about getting more grounding in there. Let's see. K4BOX, Garth, how are you tonight? Your turn, go ahead.
N7IVV, this is K4BOX. Thanks for running the net tonight. I unfortunately don't have a whole lot of input to Bob's RFI problem, although I've been over to his shack before, and I've seen the level of grounding that he has in place, and I'm not sure that's it, because his grounding seemed pretty solid to me, but I'll be curious to see what it winds up being. Other than that, a very important announcement, because you mentioned that the Wegmans hot bar was still shut down. It is not. My wife does weekly grocery runs there, and she was thrilled to find that the hot bar has reopened. So if anybody's been waiting for that, that's back in place. So that's it for me. I hope everybody's having a good evening. This is K4BOX, back to net.
Oh, well, that's actually good news. I, you know, there's a lot of things that I've experienced once or twice and feel bad if they disappear, even though I wasn't helping keep them alive, but that happens to be one. You know, because I live clear down here at the very bottom of Fauquier County, and so Gainesville is just a little bit of a haul for me, especially first thing in the morning. But the few times that my wife and I have been able to get up there for other reasons, it's always been a pleasure to go to that place. So, well, good. That'll be fun the Saturday after Thanksgiving. Yeah, but whatever. Becca, how are you tonight? KJ7APV and 7IVV. Go ahead.
And 7IVV and the next, KJ7APV. Greetings, everybody. Hope you're all having a good evening. The RFI topic is interesting, very interesting. I don't have anything specific for Bob on that, but I have been looking into, as I may have mentioned on an earlier net, from a totally different standpoint, some scientists and concerned citizens are making all kinds of webinars and research and things. They've got doctors and scientists and stuff also looking into it. Even former heads of major telecommunication corporations are heading up some of this, looking into the harmfulness of, some call it dirty electricity, just the excess of radio frequency use in our society in general. So I thought it'd be interesting if the amateur radio people could get together with these people and kind of swap knowledge, because y'all are, like, so good at finding, you know, what devices are doing what, and you know so much about radio frequency. And on their side, they've got a lot of information about health and how to protect your health from unnecessary radiation from our signals, our radio signals. So it sounds like a really good match. So I don't know how to put y'all together. I suppose if I were on the groups.io, I could post some links, and those who are led to, they can go look up some of this stuff. There's some decades old research that stated that they chose the wrong frequencies for human health when they set some standards. So some of that, or most of it, has been, apparently most of that research has been suppressed, but it's online now. So I think that's all I've got to say. I'm still working on my college. I got a little work done on my shelves of my mini ham shack that I'm building inside my house. Other than that, just been listening to the radio on and off. And back to you, N7IVV, KJ7APV.
Okay, well, thanks for that information, Becca. All right, this is N7IVV with the Wednesday night FARAH General Service Net. Anybody else want to check in tonight or recheck? This is N7IVV. Go ahead.
7IVV, here's WD8QCF. Good evening.
Okay, I guess I get the right name if I put a Delta instead of a Bravo there. I used to be a WB8 with a Bravo years and years and years ago. Still a novice at the time. Anyway, Steve, how are you? Go ahead. WD8QCN, N7IVV.
Good, Brad. Lots going on this week here, other than ham radio-wise. A couple of interviews, a whole bunch of other odds and ends happening. Lodge meeting last night turned out pretty good. Just general stuff going on. Normal busyness. Haven't been super active on the air this week. A little bit. Did hear that Four Sierra that Rich was talking about. Let's see. I heard Seychelles on as well the other day. A little bit too weak to work, but heard him in there. I think I saw Rich chasing him as well. But yeah, lots of good DX starting to pop up here. The band's been a little strange, but it'll come back around here. That's about it tonight. Not too much going on otherwise. Back to you. N7IVV, WD8QCN.
Okay, Steve. Well, thanks for that information. Hope you have a good week. Well, okay. Going to maybe set a record here for a short nap. I'm going to go relax for a little while longer. I love ibuprofen. Drugs are my friend anyway. I hope nobody else feels the opposite. But anyway, this is N7IVV, and this has been the FARAH general service net that we have every Wednesday night at this time, a.k.a. 8 p.m. local. And if anybody listening would like more information, then go to our website at w4va.org. Or if you want, you can send us an email directly to farahnet@w4va.org. That's Farah, F-A-R-A, net, N-E-T, one word. Stand by. Okay, once again, this is N7IVV closing the Farahnet and returning the repeater to normal use. Having a good evening and a pleasant tomorrow.
And for SPL, K1HTV. Still there, Bob?
K1HTV from KN4SPL. Go ahead, Rich.
Just arrived back into the house. They couldn't do a recheck. Another comment. One of the things, if you can do it, is getting antennas away from the devices that are being affected. In other words, a lot of these devices are in the near field of the antenna. If there's any way of getting the antenna away from the house, away into a yard, or just physically get some separation between you and the devices, that's one way to alleviate the problem, or at least reduce it severely. If you still have problems when you're getting it far away, then you can, you know, you always choke the cables. It could be RF coming back down the coax into the house that way, but I'm sure you've got chokes. You have chokes at the base of the antenna where the coax comes in. Otherwise, the coax itself could be radiating, and that could be what's getting into the device that you're having the interference with. Do you have any kind of an RF choke at the base of the antenna where the coax connects to it? Over.
Yes, I do. It's but it's down low. The matching unit it was about 20 feet up. Now it's about 25 foot up on the side of the house. It's now actually above the roof line, but I have a choke down at the bottom where my feed point is, because I was able to, it was an easier spot to put it, so maybe I need to move the choke up closer to the feed point of the antenna itself. But what I was trying to say earlier, I got a feeling that my counterpoise came disconnected, possibly, when I raised it. And this is happening on the lower bands, mainly 80 meters, FT8. That's what my wife was hearing, the every 15 seconds, for 15 seconds of interference. So that's what was happening. Back to you.
This is K1HTV. Another thought, at the feed point, assuming that the feed point is relatively low impedance, you will have a high impedance point, one quarter electrical, one quarter wave closer to the radio, if you have that much coax. But and if you put the choke at that point, that's a much higher impedance point, you will then have, the choke will be much more effective. If you put it, for instance, ferrites, a number of ferrites, don't put them at the feed point. Try a quarter wave down line. You'd have to compute what a quarter wave is, and then move the chokes to that point and see if that traps it. We're assuming that some of this interference is coming in by the coax. But again, if you can move the antenna away from the house, get the radio away from the near field of the antenna, you'd probably be able to resolve a lot of the interference. And then, of course, in the radio itself, if it's AC powered, you've always got to try the various ferrite chokes, as many turns as you can wind on a core, an AC, connector, an AC cable plugged in and, run in and out around the core, and then put the connector back on it, the AC cable, and run that particular core as close to the radio as you can, and hopefully that'll resolve it. But do you have any cables connected to that device, or is it just a standalone radio with an AC cord or a wall wart over?
This is KN4SPL. It's just a standalone and just a 120 volt, no wall wart, so 120 volt radio. It's approximately, 20 feet away from the where the antenna is on the side of the house. The radio is on the garage, so So I'm not sure if it's coming through the antenna. No, it's not really, because that radio, it's, I only use it for the TV in the garage, so it's not even like it's over the air, so it might be like what you're saying, over the AC line. Back to you.
Roger, this is K1HTV. Yeah, in that case, I'd put a choke. Since it's happening on 80 meters, I'd use type 31. Get some, I'm not sure how much, if you want to get it, you want to spend 10 or 11 bucks, you can buy an Amazon type 31 donut, 2.5-inch donut, and one wind to lots of turns of AC cord. You could make and again, run it as close to the radio as you can, because you're probably, if it's coming in on the AC cord, the antenna, the AC cord's acting like the antenna. It's a coupling to that cord, so you want to trap it, and so that it could be antenna from the power line, including the connector, and all the way up until it hits the radio, but the choke at that point, and hopefully if it's coming in that way, it's gonna hopefully attenuate it. Good luck in solving it. It's always a lot of fun chasing down the RFI gremlins. Anyway, have a fun time. Have you been on 12 meters or 10 meters? Yeah, you talked about getting some additional elements or additional bands on the vertical. Do you have those in place now?
Negative on that. I think I'm going to work on that over this coming weekend. Again, I got that. Okay, first of all, the antenna I got up, which is a dipole, but it's an MFJ. I think it's like 1774, but it's basically a G5RV Junior. It's supposed to be multi-band, but it only seems, at least according to my antenna analyzer, that it's only resident on 20 meters. The total dipole length of the wire is about 54 feet. That's both ends. So, it's supposed to be 40 down to 10, but it's only resident on 20. So, I think I'm going to get that inverted V hooked up this weekend, and then I'll work on the add-ons to the vertical. Back to you.
Remember the G5RV and the ZS6BKWs, the antenna links. The radiating part consists of the horizontal as well as the leader, the ladder line or twin lead or whatever they're using for the down part before it hits the coax. What are you doing at the transformation point? Do you have a one-to-one balun at that point?
Let's see. It is just, like you said, it's so the wire length from end to end is 54 feet. That's the two sides of the dipole, and then I got 16 feet of ladder line, and there's no balun. It's just a feed point to coax at the bottom of that 16 feet of ladder line. This is KM4SPL.
Well, do this. I have the antenna length. If you think of it, 27 feet on one half of the side, and then another 16 feet. It's getting to be close to that whole length. Is going to be close to a half wavelength total. I mean, yeah, half wavelength or a quarter wavelength for 40 meters from the tip to the point where it hits the coax. In the case of the ZS6BKW or G5RVs, putting a choke balun could be very helpful at that point. You don't want to have coax. You know, again, you're talking about a balanced antenna feeding to an unbalanced piece of coax. So you're going to get RF radiating back down the coax. What I've done, originally I bought I used a Costco nut container, one of the large round nut containers, drilled a hole in it, ran a piece of, from the inside in and out holes for a piece of coax to just hold it in place on the bottom end, then wrapped the maybe 10 or 12 or more turns of wire, of coax I should say, and where the coax ended I just ran it through another hole in the plastic. And then at that point, put a connector, or just put solder those connectors, connections to the ladder line. And then on the other side, of course, you can use the end of a very long run of RG, RG8X or LMR 400 is kind of big overkill for that. But RG8X or even RG58 for the power you're running for that shorter run would work fine for 80 meters and 40 meters, etc. wind a choke, and that's one way you can do it, or winding many turns around a plastic container of some sort. The other way is to get a couple of ferrite cores and wind about, you'd have to check that the canine, what's this called, the guy who does, has a whole lot of information about balance. He's out in California. Is it canine white team maybe? Anyway, you've probably seen articles about balance by this fellow. I should know him. I met him once at a PVRC meeting, came out from California. But he has a number of chokes that you can make, and I think it's probably going to be about 8 or 10 turns of maybe not even that many of coax around the core, and you can put that in place of this other choke I had. Putting a choke at that point may solve the issue, over.
Roger that. On this G5RV antenna that I got, I did, at the feed point of the ladder line, I did choke it out. I did about 10 windings of about 8 inches in diameter at the feed point. And then that works its way down to the bottom of the mass. And then I have another coax hooking back up. So I'm saying I'm about 135, 145 feet from the antenna to the house. So, again, I have not hooked it up to the house yet. I just put the antenna analyzer on it. And, again, it's only resident on 20 meters. The SWR on 10 and 40, they're all up above 10 to 1. 20 meters, though, is 1.2 to 1, so it seems to be only good on 20.
Okay, on HTV. Now, did you tell? You say the choke is at the end of the ladder line, right where the coax starts. Is that where you put the choke?
Roger, roger.
Okay. Do this, if you can. At the end of the choke, if you can, or wind some sort of choke temporarily, just put it at that point and put your impedance bridge there. See what it looks like there. It should look fairly decent on 40 and 20 and 10. And just to see if you have if you don't, there's going to be something else wrong, because unless the antenna is unbalanced itself, if it's wide open in the air, both ends equally away from the same, away from things and up in the air, that should perform well. Again, make the measurement there before you put long lines, a long piece of coax on it. Over.
K1HV from KN4SPL. Okay, so current configuration of the antenna is a inverted V. The middle point is up at 33 feet, and the ends are approximately 15 feet off the ground. So that's where I'm at with that. So maybe I need to get the ends up higher, and I will be trying to work on that. We'll see what happens. That'll be this weekend's project. Back to you.
Having the ends that low, 15 feet, wow, it's like capacitively coupling a high impedance endpoint of the antenna. Remember, the ends of the antennas are very high impedance. You're affected by things, and by having that end piece so close to the ground, 15 feet, you're effectively adding a capacitor to the ground on both ends, which electrically makes the antenna way off what it should be. Get the ends up in the air, and you'll see the antenna start performing more like it's supposed to. If any kind of supports at all, even if they're not exactly in line, try to get those ends up in the air, and you'll see a major change in the way it's going to perform. It'll also work better for you. I mean, right now you've got a sky warmer. that's really an NVIS, and that's not good for DX. You know, you'll work local stuff. But try to get the ends. Is there any way of getting the ends up in the air?
Yes, I'll just have to extend the bottom poles. Right now I just have a 10-foot pieces of EMT. And then they're stretched back, so it's the poles are 10 foot, but I got about 20 feet of rope, but so the ends of the antenna are about 15 feet off the ground. But if I add another 10 feet to it, That should help. No, that should get them up higher. Back to you.
Do you have any trees at all?
My property is limited, Rich. Maybe one of these weekends you can stop on by and see what I got going on, and maybe you can really give me some input on how to improve my I'm going to call it small antenna farm. Back to you.
Well, you've done well with what you got, being able to work all you have done so far with low power. So, yeah, I'll have to swing by there and just see what. I'm sure the grounds are proper. Being an electrician, you probably have done all that right. So, yeah, it's tough when your antenna compromised. You have the house itself as a support. You at least put a, I mean, not, and I'm sure if you can do that without flagging the neighborhood, the HOA police. But the idea would be, of course, getting an antenna at the peak of the roof, putting some sort of mount and running the wires in different directions. But that'll show as that's probably is a no-no. That'll give you some height that the house has. So is it a two-story house?
It is, but the dipole, or I'm going to call it now the inverted V, I got it on a telescoping mast, kind of hidden, and I have a line of cypress at the back of my property, so that's where I try to hide the HF antennas in the cypress. But again, I have the main part, the center of the dipole on a telescoping mast up about 35 feet. Because again, the cypress are not good for supporting any kind of antenna. They blow around in the wind real bad. So I wanted something more stable. That's why I went with the telescoping mast. Back to you.
Well, how about this? An invisible wire from the peak of the house, somehow. And have that support one end of the wire. That gets one end way up in the air, 25 feet or so, or maybe even more. Something very thin where you can't even see it. And then going to the back. Now the cypress, are they tall? How tall are they?
I'm going to say about 35 feet. They're a little bit higher than the mass that I have currently holding up the antenna.
I would run an air boss easy hang with slingshot over the top of the cypress and pull up a rope, a very thin rope. It doesn't have to be like an eighth inch or so, and put a pulley on it. And then you can pull the center of the antenna up using that rope. You can raise and lower it easily. And then from that center of the antenna in one direction, it could be towards the house, high as you can do it. In the other direction, may have to be a right angle, just to go parallel to another cypress further down, or pull it away from the cypress. But try to use up more of the wire that way. I'll have to swing by and see what there is. But try to use the height of the trees, and don't worry about the flopping around too much. Just put a bungee or something. And also you could on the house side, if you have a chimney or something, you could put a pulley there and run the rope or whatever through the pulley downward and put a weight on it, so as the tree moves, the weight goes up and down. I know Mark's done that with a weight inside of a PVC pipe. And as the tree moves, the weight goes up and down. It's, of course, going through a pulley. So some ideas, just give me some ideas. But anyway, good luck with getting it, getting the antenna up in the air where it belongs. KN4SPL from K1HTV.
K1HTV from KN4SPL. Thanks, Rich. I will definitely look into those different configurations. I did not think about, especially having right angles on like a dipole. There was a possibility I could do that. It would probably be more like not 90, like a 60 degree angle difference if I go from the house, because again, my property is limited. I got a major road right behind my house, which is Route 28. So I would not be able to go like straight. Again, sometime on some weekend coming up, if you have some time, it would be great to get your input. But I'm gonna get going. It's getting near my bedtime. It's late for me for such an early riser. So I'm going to say 73 to you, Rich, and I will be clear on your final.
Okay, for SPLK1HTV. Well, you need your rest. You need to be stay healthy. So have a good work day today, tomorrow, and yeah, we'll swing by and yeah, I'll give you a call ahead of time and we can get together. I can you can show them what you have and maybe come up with some ideas to improve your antenna farm. And take care and have a good week. Canfor SPL, K1HTV clear, and I'll be monitoring for a while.
K1HTV from Canfor SPL. Yeah, I just wanted to clear with my call sign. So 73 Rich, Canfor SPL, clear.
K1HTV, K4JNT.
Wayne, K4JNT. I almost said KN4. K4JNT, K1HTV. How have you been, and how's work?
I'm doing all right. Work's busy. How are you doing these days?
Fine. Doing fine. Just got back from Warrington. Second trip in today. The first one after my chores downtown. Swung over to Andy's house. Had a nice lunch with Andy and Amy and Anna. And I got out of school half a day to go to rehearse for her auditioning for the county orchestra, the youth orchestra, and that was supposed to happen later in the afternoon, so she had to practice her string bass to practice for the rehearsal, or not the rehearsal, for the audition, so hopefully she did okay. We'll find that out. And then I came back, and then this evening at a holy hour of church, went over there, and then came back, and just heard the net going on at 8 o'clock, and thought I'd say hello to the guys and contribute my 2 cents worth. 40's been good in the morning. I know you're working in the morning, but right around sunrise, past couple days, 4S7AB has been on from Sri Lanka. Very good signal at times. And on 60 meters tonight, there was a huge pileup on 8Q7RM from the Isle of the Maldives, which are out in the Indian Ocean. East of Africa, and very, very good signal. I counted 50 stations in a 15-second period. All but three of them or four of them were calling the station. Most of them were Europeans. You had some stateside guys, Mark, K4SO, and W4DR, and a couple of the guys up in New England were calling unsuccessfully. But the guy in the Maldives is working a lot of stuff on 60 meters. So I called for a short while, but then I said, food is more important than chasing, working a pileup with 50 Europeans also calling over.
I can definitely understand that. Yes, it is. Got to keep the old body going.
And I had a good dinner, and then headed out to church. So, anyway, that's what I'm doing. The 40-meter beam is working. Andy put up the driven element, you may have heard, last week. It was the ground crew. We hauled it up, and he put it in place. That's the one that I pinned all the metal-to-metal contacts with the stainless steel sheet metal screws. Put the SWR bridge on it, and it was like 1.05 to 1. Then he moved things around, and it started jumping around as the wind started. So I think what's happening is not the driven element that's the problem, but the reflector and the director. When there's wind, there's a metal-to-metal problem. I could see the SWR changing as the wind moved the antenna. But it worked so well, it was stable last night, and I worked EY8MM in Tajikistan on 40 for my 322 countries on 40. The EY8MM was number 322, so that was good. Then this morning, a lot of BKs and ZLs, and of course the 4S7 I'd worked before from Sri Lanka. So, the lower band's been good. And today, on 12 meters this afternoon, FK8CP, who I had worked on 6 meters and I'd worked them on 160, showed up on 12 meters. And I call him, and a lot of guys call him, but he was trying to work a guy in Ghana. And he went on for 15, 20 minutes with a very good signal, but could not work the Ghana station, and he disappeared. Never worked any stateside guys that were calling him either. So, but the band was in a pretty decent shape out to the Pacific, over.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, next couple weeks I'm busier and I'll get out anyway, so I can't do a whole lot of radio work. Anyway, I just want to jump in there and wave my hand at you. I got you going out of here. P1HCV, 73, K4JNT, I'm clear.
See you later, Wayne. Take care. K4JNT, K1HTV clear, and I'll be monitoring.